Z103.com. Good Friday morning to you. Monty the Music Man, Seaburns, hanging out with you till 9 a.m. Time now for episode number 32 of the Basics of Economic Development. Mark Wickersham, good morning.
Good morning.
Man, always great to have you in here. It
well,
gives
thanks.
The show class, as I've always said. It really does.
Well, the good news is it's on radio instead of television. You're not immediately podcasting, so people don't have to watch me.
Well, they don't have to watch me either. I don't want cameras in here. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey,
what we got today?
Today's topic, I want to spend a few minutes talking about something that we refer to in our industry as capital stacks.
All right, go for
now,
it.
Don't confuse that with a pile of money.
Okay, I won't.
It's not cash. But to some extent, once again, we use a lot of jargon and a lot of acronyms in our business. But this is a term that I think broadly is something that will help the listeners have somewhat of a better understanding of and take a little bit of the mystery out of how businesses and business deals organize themselves in the first place. Because, you know, when we think about it, we're not all sitting here paying cash for all of our major purchases. Okay, maybe Monty, you're an exception.
I wish I were, but sometimes I have to get it on the old plastic and take a few days to pay it off.
So we have to figure out whether it's managing our household budget or whether it's managing a business. We have to figure out how we're going to pay for investments, capital investments, whether they're business startups or expansions or whatever we're going to do. We have to try to figure out and in essence illustrate how we're going to do this. Frankly, even if we did have cash to work with, we're still going to do some research to make sure we're making smart purchases, and we're going to do what most businesses and banks and individuals do in a way. We're reducing our exposure. We're reducing risks and managing risks. Now, also, I just want to preface, don't confuse the idea of a capital stack concept with this simplistic idea that, I'm just going to spend somebody else's money to accomplish my goals. That's not what we're talking about. And in a more onerous way, we've heard about the problem of socialist countries. You run out of other people's money, primarily because it seldom or if ever gets paid back. Now, we also don't want to confuse all of that sort of stuff with the basic knowledge that in a capitalist society and in our private sector economies, hey, at some point in our lives, we're going to borrow money from each other or from somebody, and they're going to want their money paid back, and we're going to expect to pay them back. And what we're here to talk about on the idea of a capital stack is a planning tool. Simplistically, to help us understand how we're going to come up with the funds to cover a particular cost. Also, don't confuse it with a business plan, because that's not really what we're talking about either. So at its most elementary level, a capital stack is an illustration used to describe the basic process of figuring out how we're going to pay for something that we recognize as beyond our ability to pay cash for. Now, in my days back, about 25 years ago when I was in banking, at the time, we, as a banker, we referred to this as structuring a portfolio for our customers. We'd evaluate the actual value of the assets involved, the liabilities involved, then we'd look at income streams, inventory turnover, we'd look at equity, we'd look at gaps that needed to be filled with financing in order to make a purchase become a reality. And if you can imagine just stacking those questions on top of each, or the answers to those questions on top of each other, we come up with things like a debt-to-income ratio, loan-to-value, early equity positions, cash flow, and then we can make a recommendation whether or not a project has a chance of being successful. Today, in the business world, the capital stack simply refers to the structure. Again, as I've kind of highlighted, it's the structure of capital invested in making something happen. But we take this data and we create a visualization to help better understand how particular investments are going to be financed. And not only, frankly, do private businesses and individuals use some variation of this concept in planning, municipalities and charitable foundations do as well. I've mentioned on other shows that I serve as a commissioner on the Northeast Indiana Strategic Development Commission. Well, each applicant for a grant to the SDC, as we call it, is required to present a proposed capital stack to the commission in order to help us understand not only if the proposed activity has a chance to succeed, but to what extent is it dependent on our grant? What percent of the stack is our participation? And charitable foundations do the same thing with grant applications. And honestly, without doing the research, preparing a capital stack illustration, I'm not sure how to answer whether an investment would make sense or not. And so it helps us get a picture. It helps us understand what we're doing. The various sources of capital and expenses can be illustrated by, you know, stacking the sources on top of each other in an example, or layering them until we really know what we're talking about.
So what you're saying is the basic use of capital stacks is very out of the box and is dependent upon the situation, and no two would look the same.
Absolutely. Very. And another way of thinking about this, and I like to use sports analogies, think about a baseball team and trying to figure out how talented your baseball, or how professional, maybe even a fantasy team as you're doing fantasy baseball or whatever. So you got to have a pitching staff, and even within a pitching staff, you got to have starters, relievers, closers. You need defensive players, outfielders, infielders. You want some utility players. And then you got offense, or the hitting. So do you stack your lineup, if you will, with players that are home run hitters, or they're good at situational hitting, bunts, walks, advancing runners, or playing little ball? And so when you stack up the discussion of a sports team, a baseball team, you can analyze and maximize what you have to work with and adjust your weaknesses. And that's basically what a capital stack can do when you're talking about a financial decision. There also are times when in communities, one of the struggles that we have as economic development officials in working with voters and working with elected officials is the idea that whether it's a capital stack or whatever planning process you use, you can't really do a good job illustrating the costs that might be associated with not pursuing a particular investment or a project. A lost opportunity cost is also something that if you can figure out how you can measure it, it really helps understand whether something's a good idea or not. And then Huntington's efforts today, if you think about the construction of the stormwater separation system that we're seeing on LaFountain Street at West Park Drive, or Tipton Street in the corridor, and the projects that happened during the Fetters administration. I mean, what we're seeing and witnessing and having to pay for is something that we were obligated as a community to do in 1973. But from 1973 forward, we kind of kicked the can down the road, as they say, because, boy, it was an expensive idea, and, you know, we couldn't really see the benefit. We couldn't really see what we were doing wrong. But IDEM, Indiana Department of Environmental Management, and the Indiana Attorney General finally, during the Fetters administration and the early days of the Fetters administration, said that you don't have a choice. You've got to do this. But imagine if we would have done the projects a little bit at a time over the last 50 years, we might have been able to do that in a lot less expensive and disruptive way. But without a capital stack approach, we couldn't figure out as a community what the cost benefits were. We couldn't figure out how we were going to pay for things until suddenly it was mandated that we do it. And then when we put together the capital stack under a mandate, what we realize is, okay, this is expensive, but we can get this done, and this will actually be for the benefit of everybody.
So was a lot of that done in the name of austerity, basically, that we don't want we have to pay for it under my administration type of a thing?
Well, I think my grandpa would have said it was penny wise and pound foolish.
And is there any truth to the rumor or the stories going around that at one time there was a grant that would have almost covered a larger percent of it, as far as we would have ended up paying a lesser percentage?
I don't have any knowledge of that. I have no way to know one way or the other. I know that over the last 50 years, the federal government was offering programs of some type. I don't know whether we were eligible and approved and turned it down. I don't have any idea.
But certainly it would have been easier to pay it with, say, $89 or $93 than it would be $20, $24.
Yeah, the inflationary issues and time valuation of money and that sort of thing suggests that we more than likely would have been better off to have done a little bit at a time instead of waiting until we had no choice.
Some interesting things.
Yeah. So that's the program for this morning. Thank you for listening, and we'll get back to music on Z103.com.